Hi, this is Christopher Lewis, and welcome to Dating Intelligence, the podcast where we give relationship advice from dating to marriage and everything else in between, and always with the goal of helping you to continuously be the best you at all times.
So if you're looking for real life and honest information to help you navigate your relationships, we've got you covered.
All right, we got you covered, Jamie. You
good
covered
morning.
Today?
I'm good morning. Covered. Yes. I'm all covered.
I'm a little vacationed out. I've been on vacation for the past 5 days, so okay. I'm just kind of coming in here
just coming,
today.
From Mexico?
Yeah. Yes, from Mexico to wine, from wine country. And nice. It's like, you wonder why they have a wine country that you never hear about their wine. There's a reason why.
Why?
The wine's really not that good.
Oh.
Yeah, you know? It's just not that good.
I'm sorry. I was trying to remain quiet, but that was funny.
Okay. All right. Well, so guys, we're going to jump into this. Jamie, we have an amazing guest today, and we're going to jump right because we don't want to leave him out anymore. I mean, this guy, you start giggling. Our guest today is a former running back and TV analyst who played the majority of his career with the LA Raiders and finished his career with the Kansas City Chiefs. He also has the distinction of being the only player to have won the Heisman Trophy, an NCAA National Championship, the Super Bowl, and be named NFL MVP and Super Bowl MVP. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2003 and still looks like he could crash through the defensive line and score touchdowns. I mean, this guy's a beast, man. He looks great, by the way, right now. Please welcome NFL legend of the show, Marcus Allen.
Woo!
Guys, Marcus.
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on our show.
I can't wait to hear what I'm going to say.
Okay, well, all right. So, guys, we're going to preface the area. This is going to be a first. Marcus goes, I don't know shit about relationships. I don't want to talk about relationships. So we're going to spin this just for
No, I'm in a relationship. Well, okay. I've been
Are
in it for a
really?
Long, long time. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
We'll have an 8-year-old son, wow. And that is the world.
Yes.
Everything I do.
Yeah. I love this.
Every choice I make, every decision I make, it's for him.
Mm-hmm. Kids make a huge change in making decisions in our lives, doesn't it?
Well,
do you feel that way now?
When you grow up.
Thank you.
And you understand that they did not ask to come.
Right.
Yeah.
So I owe him everything.
I love that.
He owes me nothing. I brought him here. I owe him everything that I can do for him. So, and it's not a sacrifice. It's what I'm supposed to do.
Right, right.
The day when you decide to have a child, it's like it's not about you anymore.
Right.
And so,
my mom said something on that note when she said the fact that when I got married and when we had our first child, she goes, I'm not your priority anymore. This is your family. They come first. I come secondary now. And you feel like because you know it's my primary family. I was like, oh wow. Like I was like, are you kicking me out, mom? You know, it's like, but basically it's like, she's saying, no, I, like you just said, you know, we didn't ask to bring that child in this world. It's our responsibility to make this child be the most magnificent kid he can be,
yes.
Adult or person, human.
Provide him with the toolkit that he could go on and lead a productive life or do whatever he wants to do.
Right.
Right now, we homeschool him. He doesn't go to school. You know, one, I didn't want him wearing a mask all day long. And secondly, I'm not real thrilled with the curriculum either.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I'm right with you.
Yeah,
there.
He goes to a place called Kumon twice a week for math and reading and stuff. And I got to tell you, he's learned a lot more from us.
I'm sure.
Hanging with us. And we are very direct with him. We don't candy coat things and stuff. And he has an opinion at 8 years old already. So.
I love it. Does he travel with you?
Yes, we occasionally take trips. Our last trip together was the Cincinnati-Alabama football game.
Okay.
And we always have a blast and stuff. But he's still mama's boy, so I got to, you know.
Well, you got to expect
that. It's good cop, bad cop. It's like, the dad's always the bad cop. You know what I mean? It's like, all I do is say no. It's like, oh, dad is mean.
But do you want to go in there saying no, or do you sit there and look at him and go, like, you know, I was there. I know exactly what you're asking me, and I was there.
It is so hard when, you know, first of all, you always say, you know, when you become a parent, you're going to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, you know, once you become a parent, it's like, it's so hard to be exactly what you said you were going to be and stuff. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like, he's my only child. Right.
Okay.
And it's kind of hard not to, you know,
give him everything he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what is the point is to have your child have a better life than you. Right. And so, and I've had a pretty good life so far, but I still want him to be, you know, free. That's the first and foremost. I want him to be in a free world and do whatever he wants to do without limitation.
Right, sky's the limits.
Inalienable rights to, you know, to do whatever every single thing that he wants to do.
So can I ask you a question on homeschool? And you had mentioned, you said you had started it when COVID started. Was he in school, normal school at that point before he got homeschooled?
No, we had just moved from Illinois to Georgia, and he was going to go to school. Mm-hmm. But then obviously, you know, that started, and we said, no, he's going to be with us.
How do you pick your curriculum for him? That's, you know, I was on a podcast and with Amy Weber, and she actually homeschools her children who are twins, and she said that there's different curriculums and programs that you can use, but she decided to add her own little spin on a couple of things. Do you guys do that as
well? We don't have a formal curriculum. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything's an education.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean?
Agree.
So
yeah.
Every time he asks a question, we give him an honest answer, and he's very inquisitive. He's always asking questions and stuff, and so, I mean, every time we go out, it's an experience, right? We try to create experiences for him where he can learn something, right? Interact with people or go to a place. He actually went to the Georgia Guide Stones.
Okay.
Right? And I don't know if you guys are aware of that, but those are stones. I don't know who put them out there, but it basically reads that in order to have a sustainable planet, it needs 500,000 people.
Interesting.
Yes.
Wow.
So he looked at that. He got a photograph with it, and he stood there and he looked at it. He read it and stuff, and he started asking questions.
I was going to say, he's got to be super inquisitive with you guys all the time, since you give him that freedom.
It's a must. Mm-hmm. It's a must.
Yeah.
Because that's
growth.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And again, we don't candy coat anything. We just tell him like it is, and I think that's the best way to be.
Okay.
Restaurants, do you let him pay for the meal, figure out the tip?
I give him the credit card, but he'll hand it to the lady.
Yeah. And then, I always did that with my girls. I'm what are we tipping?
I love that.
Yeah, everything's like a lesson. Maybe at 8, not yet. But.
He's not there yet because he'll... Where's the phone, Dad? Can I have your phone? Can I borrow your phone? It's like he learns a lot from him, but at the same time, it's such a distracting tool.
Oh my goodness,
man. It's like, Drake, pay attention.
Right.
On the phone all the time. Pay attention.
Do you guys put a monitor on that, by the way?
We try to, but it's,
right. I feel like it's usually the child though. Cause when I was growing up and, you know, like my ex and I, she was always like trying to put a time limit on, you know, electronics and things like that. And I was like, I grew up on that stuff and I learned so much. Like one of my favorite things to do even now, it's like I research the shit out of everything. And
what he does.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
I mean, if he doesn't understand a word, he'll type it in and Google it and stuff, and he go like, yeah, and read it back. So he certainly learns a lot from it, but yeah, obviously, you know, he focuses a little too much on it where he doesn't pay attention. I said, Drake, do this. And he's like, Drake, do it. What'd you say, Dad? He's like,
and you take she had mentioned something before, you take your kids' phones.
When they were little. That was like when they were young, so they weren't allowed any social media until they got to like a certain, I was just a lot stricter. I was a single mom, so I felt like I had to be. There was
but
no
I meant
dating
for quality
until they were 16.
Time, though, for your quality time.
Oh, yes,
time,
no
though.
Phones in the car, so that's time to like converse, so no music, no radio. We just talked, and then at 8 o'clock, the phones got plugged in my room.
What is the first gift we give to our kids?
Ooh.
I mean, for me, if I could give one gift to my kids, it would be to serve others or empathy.
Yeah.
It's like a toss up between the two. I think like serving others is probably number one.
Well, for me, it was a good name.
Oh, okay.
Ah, that's a good one.
Right. His name is Drake Connor Allen. I wanted to give him a strong name.
Okay.
Right. Didn't want to give him some crazy name where people look at a resume and they just don't like the name and they just slide it across the room.
Or it's too hard to pronounce or something.
Yes. You know what? That's a really strong name.
Yeah. So it was like, give him a good name. I didn't want him to have mine.
Okay.
Right? Because I wanted him to be his own person. Mm-hmm. I certainly didn't want that pressure on him. And there's so many years, apart from, you know, when I had him and when I stopped playing and stuff, that wouldn't be an issue and stuff. But I wanted him to be his own person. And the first thing we do, I felt like, is give him a good name.
So where does Drake come from in your, when you thought of that?
There was really, Lauren liked the name Drake.
Okay.
And so I liked the name Connor, right? And so we kind of, so we said Drake Connor Allen. So it just kind of worked perfectly and stuff. So
if it was a girl, did you have that mapped out as well?
No. Okay. No. I remember the day that Lauren had two boys from a previous marriage and stuff, and so she always wanted a girl. And my first child, and you know, but I was hoping for a boy.
Yeah, right.
Really didn't elaborate.
Still giving those notes, Marcus, if it was a girl? Would you still be giving those notes?
Yeah, we're driving in a car. Probably not. Probably get melted in the palm of her hand every single day. But I remember her driving. I was driving, and she was sitting in the passenger seat, and we had the doctor on speakerphone and stuff, and the doctor gave us, you know, good news that everything's normal and stuff, everything's fine and stuff. And then it was almost like a drum roll. Do you guys want to hear the sex? And we said, of course. And all of a sudden she said, it is a male, right? And I'm driving, I'm looking straight ahead, guys, right? And all I did was glance like that, because I know she wasn't going to be happy, because she really wanted a girl. But on the inside, it was like the 4th of July. But I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. I just kept driving like this.
See, I feel like most guys feel what he just right there. It's true.
Everybody, yeah.
Right. Once. So for me, by the way, I knew I was only having girls for some reason.
Really?
Guys
really?
Were always like, you're going to have a boy? I go, dude, I just know it's going to be girls. And like, even, so my kids are 5 years apart, and I knew each one was going to be a girl, but we gave our second child like an androgynous name. So her name is Blake. Okay. Our first child's name is Sky, but Blake Von Lewis is because I just wanted, you know, I want a strong name for the second child, but I also wanted androgynous. I don't want to just have another girl name. I want something that can flip both sides. And she's the epitome of that. She's 8 years old as well.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, but you think about it. How many, I mean, you always say for business, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're like interviewing and something like that, and they're looking at the name, it's like, just either too difficult to
pronounce
or it's too ethnic or something. They just kind of like slide it over to the table without really even looking at it. So you want to give him a name that obviously people can pronounce, but something that that you would hope would fit him as well down the road and stuff. Because a lot of times we give names that guys don't want to be recognized when they're 50 years old.
True. That's very true.
Yeah. And it's nothing worse than a kid, you know, they want to be named, call me this while they're growing up, and they avoid at all costs the name that you gave them. And I was like, oh no, we can't have that. So we got to remember the song that we're really dating ourselves, but remember the song Sue?
I do.
Call me Sue. Yeah, I mean, it's like, how could you call your son Sue?
No, I think what Marcus is saying, people out there, is like, don't give your child a nickname that's going to be like some name that he will not want to stick with him about 50 years old.
Right.
So, you don't call your kids nicknames, do you?
Well, I chose McKenna because after the beach and in Hawaii. So that's what and now I feel like there's so many McKennas. So I stopped calling her McKenna because I'm like, I wanted your name to be like original but beautiful. And now there's so many. So I just call her Ken's.
Right.
Or like Kenny, so she has like little nicknames.
I didn't like my name growing up.
You didn't?
No. I didn't like my name either. Yeah. I hated my name.
But now, I love it. I mean, Marcus sounds like it's character now, but and when I was a young kid, it was like...
Yeah, it's a strong
name.
Thank
you, but I was like...
Did you want, which, if I may say, what is your middle name? Did you go by that?
Then? Lamar, no. Okay. Nobody called me Lamar.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
So it's like Barry Lamar Bonds.
Got it.
Was another one.
Yeah.
Richard Lamar Dent. There's a couple of guys with Lamar.
Yeah.
But no, the first name I didn't like. I just thought, God.
You couldn't avoid it, though. It's, I was going to say, you didn't have a second name to go with if you didn't want to use it at that point.
Yeah, I didn't want to use Lamar, that was for sure. Yeah. So, but I always thought that was really important, give him a good, strong name and stuff. And then, obviously, you know, there's a lot of things we project under our kids. But you can't, no matter how much we love them, you can't project desire.
Right.
And will and want unto them and stuff. We just hope that they have that, you know.
The drive.
Yeah.
He's preaching to the crowd right now. Like, like one of my stories, so my oldest daughter's on a volleyball team, 14, and like I'm a sports guy as well. Marcus, I'm sitting there as just watching her play, and she's warming up, and I started having anxiety. I had to call my ex-wife and go, I can't do this. I can't do this. I got to walk out of it. She goes, calm down. She goes, stop looking at it from a coach point of view. Look at it from a spectator point of view.
Yeah.
I go, okay, I can get in there and do this, because I was so stressed out for her because she was just kind of didn't have that will and that desire to be what I wanted.
Yeah.
So I had to take a different approach and was just like, I'm just a spectator. And it worked for me because I had to let it all go and say she's got to form her own path.
Well, we take it so personal, right?
Yeah.
Because it's our child and stuff, and we want them to do
be the
well.
Best.
Yeah, be the best and stuff like that. And it's as far as coaching him and stuff like that. I sometimes it's easier for somebody else to coach you.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. I had to do that for my, my girls because I was so competitive and they just, my older one didn't have that drive. So it always bothered me.
Okay.
So I had to step aside.
Okay. Yeah, I hear that. So
you were younger, did you always have that fire, that discipline, that drive?
Yes, I did.
You did. So my even mother, at a young age.
Yeah, my mother always said I was the first one out of the house for sports, but the last one out of the house for everything else. So that's what she said. So
that's a really good question.
Yeah. We talked about this earlier and stuff. I said, when you're born, you don't ask for certain things. You have what you have, right? And that's why I feel so fortunate, because I was like, I didn't ask for talent, I didn't ask for skill, I didn't ask for sound mind, I didn't ask for in intellect, I didn't ask for any of those things. But you have them and stuff. And I was glad I was always driven. I was ambitious again as a young kid, and. At 10 years old, making a decision on what side of the television set you want to be on. I said, I want to play and not watch. I mean, I was into it. I mean, I was like, I was watch guys on television. I knew what college they were going to. And then every time I saw something on TV, we would go outside and we tried to emulate it in our backyard and stuff. So it was real. I mean, it was like, it was virtual reality to us. I mean, it was like I could touch it, taste it, I could feel it. Everything. So and that was not like, son, you got to be this way. It's like, that's what I had.
Right. Like, your parents didn't even have to fight.
Were there ever times, though, where you're like, I don't want to go to practice? Like, why are you making me go?
No, only when I got to when things start turning bad with the Raiders. that was the only. Yeah, but when I was young, no. I mean, I loved it. I mean, when you love it, it's no, you don't even consider it. Practice or work. I mean, you just have a passion to be out there and stuff. And
so, I love that. Yeah.
Some kids just aren't that way, though. Right. I think if you make a commitment, then you need to fulfill your commitment. So if you commit to playing for a year, you're going to finish the year.
Yeah. I agree with you there as well. Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my stance. But you see so many kids and the parents are constantly pushing. And then there's the kids that you see that light up that they want to be there.
There's a lot of, unfortunately, there's a lot of parents out there trying to, push their kids to live, their dreams.
Right.
Instead of the kids fulfilling their own and stuff. And that's always something. I was really thankful. My father, he asked us to play baseball and we said no. And he said, okay, no big deal.
So you never had a secondary sport that you really enjoyed?
Oh, no, we end up playing.
Okay.
But he asked us, and we said, no, not until our friends down the street started to play.
Gotcha.
And then our dad, the following year, he was playing, we said, yeah.
Okay.
So he didn't force us into it. He just let us, at our own time, sort of gravitate towards it and stuff. And so it worked out. But, he was, dad was a coach. Mom was a team mother. I mean, we had, even though I have four brothers, three, I have a younger brother that was 18 years older than and stuff. He came a little later and stuff, but we had three brothers. I mean, they showed no partiality. They were, they would drop us off at practice, pick me up, go pick up my brother, go pick my other brother up, then my sister. And I always had that support. Man.
Could you see yourself, you were talking about your drive and you're all like that thing when you wake up and just like you said, you just love doing it every day.
Yeah.
Did your brothers have and your sisters have that drive as well?
Yes.
Everyone did. That's great.
We all had the same drive.
That's
and
amazing.
We all, we played out in the backyard and we're extremely competitive.
Okay.
And then we would, growing up, we had this... this family down the street called the Kirkendalls, and they had like nine brothers and sisters and stuff. And
were they Mormon?
No, they were a black family. Right?
I'm thinking they, 7-on-7.
I haven't seen any black Mormons at that time in 80 something, or like 70 something growing up. But we would always we were the Baltimore Colts.
Okay,
my brothers and. Myself, and they were always the Green Bay Packers and stuff, and we'd play out in the street, and we would we'd always beat them, even though they had
so much fun.
Yeah, and so again, it was like, I mean, we were out in the street, saying, I was this guy.
Right.
I was this guy. I was this guy. I mean, and that's what we did. And so
I hate to say it. I was Franco Harris right here. Sorry, Marcus.
No.
Franco Harris, man.
Dude,
you know, because Pittsburgh was my team. And I was like, you know. Hey,
I can see why, man. And everybody loves Franco. What a great guy. He's one of my favorite people and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Such a good dude. So, I mean, listen here. Great player, great person and stuff. So I can see why you gravitate towards him. And everybody loved the Steelers.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I was a big Franco fan. And then all of a sudden, I remember, because I was a kicker on my football team, so I became a Ray Guy fan after that.
You know, okay.
For the Oakland team, for the Raiders.
Well, I think Ray was like the first kicker ever like drafted, like
that guy
number
was a
one
boss,
or something,
man.
Like that.
Let me tell you. Yeah. I mean, my whole style of kicking, like punting, was emulated after him.
No, kickers do not get drafted number one. They don't. Seriously. He got drafted number one, I think.
Really?
Right.
Yes. He was that dynamic of a kicker. And then he was also the emergency quarterback. Well, he was the third quarterback. I was the emergency in case.
Okay.
Ray. And I got to tell you, I love Ray, but I got to tell you a funny story, guys. We were playing after the Bears won the championship. We played them, or was it after we won the championship? We played the Bears in Chicago. Oh, and it was actually considered the most physical game in NFL history.
Wow.
The most dangerous game in NFL history. And we lost our first quarterback, Mark Wilson. And he hurt his thumb or something like that. Then the second guy came in was David Hum. And he got really destroyed and really wasn't the same after that. And then the backup quarterback, the third quarterback, was Ray Guy. And they say, Ray, get ready. And Ray said, I'm not going in. So I was the emergency quarterback.
Say, so you got that.
No, well, I was getting ready to go in, but they, you know, they, I guess they shut up Mark's hand and numbed it and stuff where he didn't feel it. And he came back and finished the game and stuff. But imagine me against the, you know, the Bear defense. I was ready to put on some smaller shoulder pads.
I'm sensing shotgun formation the whole game at that point off for you, Marcus, at that point.
So no, but I knew the plays. I mean, I can certainly, you know, we can run plays and I can occasionally throw a ball here and there and stuff. But, you know, if the pass rush would have gotten through, I think I could have, you know, avoided it and created some yards or maybe threw the ball down the field and stuff. So, because I was a former quarterback in high school.
Oh,
so that's what
it
was. Yeah.
Jamie, do you ever have one of those days when you're feeling stressed, anxious, or just a little off? Whether it's created by finances or just the workday or just, quite frankly, anything in your relationship.
Yeah, sometimes we have symptoms and we don't even realize, like, for example, I can't sleep.
Right.
Overeating. I mean...
I get moody. When I get in those moods, I get really moody. And I know that I just don't want to talk to anybody or do anything, but I know that I need to talk to someone. So there's this site called BetterHelp.com. And at BetterHelp.com, it's a customized online therapy that offers videos, phones, and even live chat that you can speak with someone. Or if you don't want to have them on video, you can just turn the video off at the same time. But for all of our listeners now, we'll give you, it's an affordable in-person therapy.
I think that's so amazing. So literally you just call in and set your appointment.
Right. And for all of our listeners out there, we'll give you 10% off for the first month if you sign up right now. And all you have to do is go to betterhelp.com/dateintel. That's once again, BETTERHELP.com/dateintel. DATEINTEL.
I love it.
So that's that was a funny Ray Guy story.
That's really funny. Yeah, Ray Guy was my jam.
Ray said,
Ray's my jam.
And I don't blame him. He says, I ain't going in.
That's really funny. So what are you up to nowadays? How's life treating you?
Life is good.
Life is good.
I'm in the people business.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere I go, I mean, I build relationships. I build friendships and stuff like that. A lot of work has become... I've gotten a lot of work as a result of understanding that you're in the people business and stuff. Do a lot of corporate speaking. But mostly everything is sort of geared towards my son.
What I do is I came
out here for the Raider event.
Okay.
And I'm always on a red eye home because I want to be, you know, I want to get there in the morning when he can see me, you know.
Has he come to any events with you as of late?
No. Okay. He's never, again, I try to avoid the mask wearing.
Yeah, right.
You know, for him in particular, because I mean, psychologically, I don't, you know, it's what we're doing to our kids, and and having to not only you know, oxygen deprivation, but also just the fact that they have to wear these masks for almost 2 years. It's like, No, Yeah. My son's not wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm. They need the freedom. So, they need the ride.
Yeah, and so anywhere mm-hmm. there, you know, the event that is required, I said, no, I prefer him not to go.
Okay.
And stuff. And now, but we went to the game in Texas, and, you know, no mask necessary right. and stuff.
You just got to hit those and points, so, those certain yeah. parts of the country.
Yeah.
You know?
So that was we had a great time and stuff. And so anytime we travel, we kind of like, you know, it's like father son buddy buddy kind of thing, man.
Love
we
that.
Just like, and I always, you know, I just try to, you know, it's just a great feeling, man. Especially when your son tells you he loves him, because every time, listen here, I make it a point to, because you know how many times I've heard guys in the league say they never heard that from their dad. Right? And I always heard it from my father. Right?
Yeah.
And so I always make sure that, let me tell you, that's one thing every day. I mean, he may get sick of it, but he'll never go without hearing his father saying he loves him.
Oh, I love that. Chills.
I think yeah. it's important yeah. whether it's any child.
No, mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. It all starts at home and stuff. If you don't have, obviously, the love at home, what do? They look for love somewhere else.
They
and
do.
Most often, I always say, treat your kids like gas tanks. Fill them up every single mm-hmm. day. Right?
Right.
But I know what I'm filling my kid up with, right? And the main ingredient is love, right?
Love that.
But it's tough love too. It's encouragement. Mm-hmm. It's support. It's all those things, and that's what's really important.
Right.
So.
Do you think having a child's changed your perspective at all on life, or is it
well,
still
I was
the
self.
Same?
I was certainly selfish because I was, you know, it was just being single, and
right.
then, or even not necessarily single, but you know, even a relationship, and kids just change everything. Mm-hmm. It really does. You know what I mean? I mean, and in my world, unfortunately, because it's such a large part, you know, it's football's been such a large part. Everything, whether it's the Super Bowl, right, whether it's a golf tournament, it's all these events that it's around me, right, and being emotionally available and trying to go, you know, do something that she wants to do, right. Is really important, you know, because again, everything sort of revolves around me, and you have to remember that you're not, you know, you're not in it by yourself.
Right.
That no man's, you know, an island, right? You're not here on this island by yourself. You're with someone, and you gotta obviously attend to her needs too, and things that she want to do. And
okay.
So.
See, I'm gonna toot your horn right now. You said something about where you know about the attention and making sure that. You know, when it's all about you and stuff like that. You had mentioned, like, because of your corporate speaking and things like that,
yeah.
I'm gonna toot your horn. I think that, you know, you're an amazing presence in this world because of the fact that even though you would say it's about you, it really isn't, because you're always,
no.
I feel like you're always giving,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. in a way, because when you're speaking publicly and doing all these events, you're there for them just yeah. as much as they are to see you.
I'm always trying to connect.
Yeah,
with
you're
people.
Amazing
so
when it
what
comes
is
to
the
that.
Point, mm-hmm. right? I mean, what is the point of having this conversation if we don't, you know, like
connect? Exactly,
right?
Right.
Because we're on this planet, right? We're human beings, right? We're not robots. We're not, you know, people that are isolated anywhere. And again, nobody wants to be, you know, somebody who's invisible.
Right.
We all want to be recognized. We all want to be acknowledged, right? And when I see people, I want to connect with them, you know? And you can't always do that,
right.
but the attempt is there. Even if I have to say no, I try to say it in a way. I don't have the time, unfortunately. I'd love to be nice about it
of course,
and stuff like
I agree.
That instead of blowing people off like, man, get out of here. It's always because we talked about earlier, this young man that I met, right, who I became friends with and who's now, unfortunately, facing a surgery, a brain tumor that he has, right? And I've known him since he was 12 years old, and now wow. he's 45. And when I first met him, his parents brought him to a game, and it was his aunt that said, okay, we're going to get autographs. And you know what? And for some reason, well, not for some reason, I found out that when I was at USC, his friends got an autograph for me after I was on the cover of Sports Illustrated
okay.
after the Oklahoma game. Which was the second game of the year, and I signed the autographs, and they went back and showed him, and for some reason, he just became a huge Marcus Allen fan, right? Mm-hmm. And so finally, they got a chance. He got a chance to meet me, right?
Okay.
And his aunt pushed him towards me, and he grabbed my leg, and was crying, and was
oh, wow.
holding my leg so tight, right? I couldn't help but just like, okay, you know, little guy. I mean, it was like, it was, you know, it was so genuine and so real. I ended up, you know, I brought him on the bus and I got him, you know, chance to beat all the other players and stuff like that. And you can see that his parents were down there just, you know, just glowing and beaming and stuff, right, as it was looking up. And then I brought him back down. I actually gave him a $10 bill, and I signed it. I said, Jason, be the best, Marcus Allen, right? And he had it framed. He has a jersey. He has all these pictures of he and I together. And even his parents said, you had no idea the impact that you had on him. He would always refer himself as Marcus Mix, right? And you, little do you know, there are people that are watching and the people that vicariously, I say, play through you and stuff.
That's
and
right.
Want to be like you. And so I've also seen when people invest so much into you, and when they finally meet you, they get, you know, devastated by the fact that, you know, you either didn't acknowledge them or you were, you know, you weren't nice to them, and how devastating it is to
you. And unfortunately, so, like, and I know of your, you know, of someone of your status and stature, it's that thing where it can't happen all the time, but I know that from what you just said from the story that you probably do as much as you can do. And the best part about what you just said is that you always say no. If you have to say no, it's always in a way that someone can understand, where it's not going to like completely just kill them.
Listen here, if you live by, listen, just because you've done more than someone doesn't make you better than someone, right? And the fact that, I mean, I know a lot of people that are, you know, that are like super wealthy, right? And just the most normal people, you walk down the street and you see them, you would never know this because they're just like great people. That's how you should be. I mean, and then I always say by the grace of God, because it's like, again, you grow up, I didn't ask for any of this stuff.
That's true.
So I feel very lucky and fortunate.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of easy for me to, it's easy to get carried away to.
Well, that's
with people,
that's
but expected. I mean, easily you can come back and maintain perspective, because I think if you look at life in that manner, it's easy to do.
It's my philosophy, this guy right here.
Yeah.
I have a little funny story that happened in Mexico, something similar to what we just talked about. No, you're going to laugh about this one. So I was with my group of friends and my girlfriend, and we're walking through this vineyard. All of a sudden, this guy goes, oh my God, hi, like that. And I'm walking off, just like, hey, and all of a sudden, I'm walking away, and they go, he's following you. He wants you to come back. And they go, hi. And so he thought I was some celebrity basketball player. And he goes, which basketball? I go, I'll be whoever you want me to be right now, because he couldn't understand English, but he was so happy and excited. Right. I mean, on the verge of tears almost. And I go, and I shot my photo with him a few times, and I walked in. I go, thank you. Okay, I love you. And all my friends are now going, hi, celebrity basketball player. But I go, they go, what'd you tell him? I go, I just couldn't say no to him. I didn't want to burst his bubble.
I'll admit this. Sometimes I get mistaken for Ahmad Rashad.
Right. Okay.
And Tony Dorsett, for some reason, Tony's like much shorter than me. And Chris Carter, right? But I try to be nice, because I don't want them to say, oh, man. And then they find out Chris Carter was an asshole. You know what I mean?
Thank you very much. Right.
So I try to be okay. I'm Chris Carter. I'll be all right. I'll be nice to you.
Mark's like, Chris is on my phone right now. I'm calling you right now.
Even though I'm Marcus Allen, it's like, you think I'm Chris Carter. You don't believe me? Okay, I'm Chris Carter. I'll be nice to him and stuff like
Especially
that.
Especially when you tell him you're not.
I know.
Yes, when you tell him you're not, and they still think that.
Well, I said, I don't want, you know, to think Chris is a jerk and stuff, so, or a mod, or Tony Dorsett, so it's like, you know.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
That's cool.
That's really funny. No, but you just seem like you just spread just joy everywhere you go. And I like the fact that you're talking about your son, first and foremost.
It's easy. Well, to me, I mean, that's, as a parent, it's like you become third. You become
Right. Yeah, I will drop it. I'm like, I know you would, too. I would drop anything for my kids, so. Mm-hmm. Hell, before I came on the plane today, my ex had surgery today, and she's like, you need to come watch Girls. It was on the books. And then we found out you were coming when I took this flight. I was like, how am I going to get the girls to school and then get on the plane and then make here? So I figured it out, though, because they come first. And I go, if that plane's late, I'm late. I go, I can't do anything about it, because they come first in my life, you know? So, but it all worked out.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah. It always does. Well, I have to say, you put on an amazing event. I met him, I don't know, how many years ago was it?
It was a while ago.
It was a while back, but I feel like I showed up to this event.
Okay.
He throws a golf event. I'm like a nobody, like coming in, like, you know, just showing up to hang out. And he made me feel so welcome. everyone that you aligned yourself with, like I'll never forget to this day, I didn't know who Byron Scott or Scott Byron was.
Yeah, okay.
But
great,
he
great
made
guy.
Such an impression on me that I still like follow him to this day.
Oh, that's great.
He's gotten married.
He'll do your podcast, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, Brian. Oh, he's great.
Byron Scott?
Yeah, he's awesome.
I like Byron Scott. Yeah.
He so I, you know, hung out with him for like half the day, but I feel like everyone that you've aligned yourself with, they were all so welcoming and amazing.
You don't understand how, because I understand the value of time and stuff, right?
Yes.
And she, you know, and I was trying to take care of the people that came there, right?
Okay.
Some monetary value, but not obviously what they were worth. So I realized they're giving of their time. So there's a charitable, you know, aspect
of
to
course.
Her that
right.
I really appreciated, right? And I got to tell you something. She was the nicest person, the most Aww. Giving person. I'm telling you, and I told John that. When he mentioned earlier, you know, about the podcast, I said, "Are you kidding me? You better say a lot, you know, say hello to her and stuff like that." And I said, "Man, she was great. She was the nicest person." And you know, you asked me to do the show. I'm going to like, "Are you?" I said, "What did I say? You kidding me? You think Aww. I'm going to say no to you after what you how nice you know you were and how much time you gave to my event, which is obviously trying to help kids and
right.
stuff like that?"
Right.
Yeah. I said, "Are you kidding me? Come on, I'm not going to say no to you."
You're
what a great
too.
Event. Yeah. Are you still putting on?
I'm actually listening here. Change things up a little
okay.
bit. It's my 20th year
of doing the golf charity event.
Yes.
Wow.
And
that's great.
I can't tell you who we're kind of honoring this year.
I was going to say, just please let us know.
Oh, I can't.
Okay,
we'll make
yeah.
it out.
Yeah.
But she's a tremendous, tremendous, athlete. She's a world class person. She's an Olympian, and that's all I can say.
Okay.
But she doesn't know she's coming to my event, but she doesn't know we're going to honor her.
Oh, that's she's going to be surprised. That's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, 20 years. That's unbelievable.
20 years, yeah, yes. guys.
And congratulations on that.
We've raised millions of dollars. We've impacted tons of kids. You know, I give money to Fresh Start, which grants surgical gifts to kids, right? Whether you're born with a deformity or some tragic accident and stuff like that, and give kids cosmetically, a new start in life. The Laureus Foundation, which is a sports for good foundation, which... really sort of, I think, you know, we utilize sports to collect kids. That's the one common language we all have, sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you get kids off the street and you obviously, you know, teach them things that are beneficial for the rest of their lives and stuff. So it's all, you know, about evolving kids.
Has anyone come back for the 20 years that you've known in these situations that, oh my God, you've really helped and made an impact on my life?
No, but I've had, I've had kids.
Okay.
One kid I remember, we helped him with some scholarship funds and stuff like that, and just walked up to me one day and said, "I just want to say thank you, by the way. I'm at Stanford now."
Oh, see, that's what I want to know. That's great.
Yeah, that's a great. Yeah.
And that's all it takes is one right there.
Yeah, let me tell you what. That's a poor percentage, but we try to reach more. But you know what? It's like, this is one of the things I live by. You're rich by what you give, and you're poor by what you keep, dude. We can't take it with us. And I think the best feeling that I've always said, the trophies get old, they get rusty and stuff, but what you do for your fellow man is lasting. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really important. So.
Well, I'm glad you're still out there promoting and doing things. These are some of the questions I had, and you've answered them great today, by the way. It's just one of those things that I want to know, what is Marcus Allen doing now? And are you still active in this? But it's that thing, even when you're out of the grand stage, you're not out the
He's
grand
never,
stage. Because,
yeah, you're never
right,
really.
Because you're still promoting. But that's
a
choice,
though.
He's such
a people person.
Right, but that's the choice that you made, because most people, some people want to go and just do their own thing. Some want to become recluse, some whatever. But.
I get people that are upset at me because when I go to the Super Bowl, I was at the Super Bowl, and I did something for On Location, did something for Bank America, a company called Zebra, another company, another On Location event. And I actually stay beyond the time that I'm required. Because I want them to walk away with an experience,
okay?
Because I don't want them to come and say, it was just a guy just walking through, right? They're not just extras in my movie. I try to make them feel like they're,
part of
principles.
It.
Yes,
yeah, love that.
That they matter and stuff. So that's what's really
right
critical to me. I think it's a must. And My agent doesn't necessarily always like it, but but he doesn't understand.
About the dollar, Mark. It's about the dollar.
Yeah, he doesn't understand. That's why I get invited back all the time.
That's true too.
See, and that's the you know, that's important as well. So, but you get back because you get a good response, right? For golf events, you know, you invite guys that understand it's not about them; it's about the other person,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
My goal: I'm going to Jerome Bettis's event, which is coming up pretty soon. My goal. For Jerome, I love him as a person, mm-hmm. what he does and stuff, great guy, is to get his group to say, hey, Jerome, I see you next year, before you ask him how did they enjoy
That's
themselves.
That's great. That's yes. really great. Yeah.
Is there anything we can do to help with that event?
Oh, no. Listen, it's been going so well, and had such tremendous people and stuff like that. I mean, I've gotten repeat business. Sean Carmichael, Navistar Trucking Company, he just bought five teams, $75,000. He's been supporting me for, I mean, God, I don't know how long. And he's the one that invited me to the game, he and my son. And so,
okay.
And there's other things that he pays me for to come and, you know, but that I didn't obviously want. A gentleman by the name of Steve Lusso, who used to be the CEO of Seagate Technologies, I mean, he's given me well over $1 million.
Wow.
And he is the salt of the earth. Kind of guy, you know what I mean? And he doesn't get a lot of, he doesn't want credit.
Wow.
He doesn't want credit. He just, you know, we have a friendship. He does this because I think he loves me and he wants, obviously, you know, to help me out, you know,
right.
with my vision to help others and stuff like that. But I mean, when you have relationships like that and people like that that come back every single year, you know, it's really what makes our event special.
That's
you know?
Great.
I don't have the polka party anymore and the fashion show. I used to have a polka party and a fashion show at Lucky Strike in Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Along
okay.
with the golf tournament. Now I do more of a sit down with a round table with guys. And I have a surprise honoree and stuff like that.
What does that consist of, the round table, when you have them?
Oh, it's me just, you know, and really sort of talking like this, about real issues.
Yeah,
nothing
right.
really, you know.
Right. Yeah, guys need
stuff.
More of that, people.
Because I always want guys to talk about, you know, we're talking about stuff that these people don't know,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Not stuff that everybody knows about. We want to, you know, tell me something about, you know, how you felt at this particular time and stuff and what, you know, were you playing for your parents? For example, very few people, as much as I love playing for me,
mm-hmm.
I play for my parents.
Okay.
Right? I wanted everybody to know who my father was, right? I want everybody to know who my mother was, right? Because, you know, in our communities, a lot of single family, you
right,
know,
right.
single parent homes and stuff like that. I wanted everybody to know who Red Allen was, right? He was from Texas. He was the oldest of 11 kids. He had a challenging upbringing. And because of that challenge, he said, at a young age, if I ever have kids, it'll never be like that, right?
Got it.
He tells a story where he, his mother told him, go get your dad. He was at the bar gambling, and it was a 2-mile walk to go get him. And on the return home, his dad barely said 2 words to him. And he said, man, and he had to be like 11 years old or something, if I ever have kids, it'll never be like that. So his goal was to be a great father
right.
and dad, right? And so he's been this magnificent father, dude. And my mother's been incredible, right? The some of the most amazing moments that I've ever had was when I won the Heisman Trophy back in 81, guys. At that particular time, they didn't have the format that they have now, right?
Okay.
Right. Remember, now it's more suspenseful. They have four guys there and stuff like that.
50 curve marshals in between.
they just actually walked me. I knew I'd won the day before because it was during a process of elimination, too. Herschel Walker wasn't in town. Jim McMahon wasn't in town. I'm the only one in town, so I figured I won the award. But the day before, we called home, and I remember my mom. I said, Mom, we did it. And she's going nuts, right? And I said, okay, well, let me speak to Dad. Well, she said, he can't come to the phone. I said, what do you mean he can't come to the phone? And she said, well, Marcus, he's crying. I said,
oh man.
So I knew what that was all about.
Yeah, right.
And so it almost makes me tear up today and stuff, right? Because that meant so much to me, right?
Right.
And then I remember at the Super Bowl, when we won the Super Bowl, I was just named, the MVP of the game and everything. But I remember they showed my parents on TV, which, that's all I wanted, right? And then they also got interviewed by Phyllis George.
Okay.
That was more important to me than,
right,
what transpired
right.
at the game and everything. And then the Hall of Fame, right? My father was the third father ever to introduce his son. Most of them get coaches
oh, wow.
and stuff like
okay.
that. Yeah. Ronnie Lott, who's my best friend, his dad was the second. I mean,
wait, what do you mean do they ask you or do you got to choose or they say, hey, you're
no,
they...
yeah, and most guys choose coaches
okay,
or
yeah,
writers
right,
or something
right.
like that,
That's
which
weird.
I could never understand. As much as I love right. My coach, I mm-hmm. mean, nobody comes before my dad, right?
Aww.
And so he was the third father ever, right? And I remember them coming to me at that time in 2003. It was they allotted really 15 minutes at the time, right? And then they sort of exploded. Everybody was getting an hour apiece and stuff, and the show's gotten out of control. And now they kind of reeled it back in.
Okay.
But they were allotting 15 minutes per person. And then, but they also had a deadline too. But they usually go alphabetical order, but they saved me for last in this one. And I remember the set producer coming to me and said, "Hey, Marcus, we're running low out of time, we're running low on time and stuff, and so you're gonna have to be brief with your speech." And I didn't think about it, but he came to me a second time, and I looked at him and said, "Listen here, I don't care about me. You better get my father on the air. That's the only thing that
yeah,
matters."
Yeah, that's man.
That's
yeah.
the only thing that mattered. So I understand, because I had that great father son relationship. That's why it's so important to have that great father son relationship.
I get that.
With my son too,
right.
Because if you raise your sons right, they'll grow up to be,
It holds a lot of weight.
They'll
you know?
Become a respectful young man.
Right.
They'll know how to treat women. They'll know how to be, just good, solid citizens and stuff. And so a lot happens, I think, with the father-son relationship. Not that the other relationships aren't important, but, the dad is like...
Yeah. I learned something off of what you're saying from one of our guests that we had a few weeks back. It was that thing where he has daughters, and just like myself, and he goes, I open up the door, because my mom was always like chivalry, chivalry, chivalry. Like,
yeah.
I mean, she would walk to a door, even to this day where I'm talking to her and all of a sudden she's standing by a door. I'm like, oh crap. And I'll run over there and I'll go open the door for her real fast. I'm like, I'm so sorry, mom, like that. Because she was always remember, like, he's so woman, da, da, da. But he told me, which I never thought about, that he opens the door for his daughters because he goes, I would expect a man that you date down the road. That's what I would want you to expect
right.
from them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I just started doing that for my daughters just recently because I never thought that
exactly.
way before.
So they'll expect whoever
right.
they get involved with to do the same thing.
Yeah,
and if
exactly.
they they're going to like, this guy's not.
That's the thing. And
yeah.
it just, I've never really saw
you're setting
that
a standard to hire already, so which
mm-hmm.
is a good thing because
mm-hmm. yeah, so I'm on it.
We got
so
rip,
I did that with my girls. The first time she went on a date, her boyfriend dropped her off because they are still dating to this day. So mm-hmm. she's 16, goes on her first date, and of course I'm waiting for her to get home. And he drives away before she gets in the house.
Oh yeah,
I said.
Yeah,
she walks in the door. I said, "Get him on the phone right now." And she's like, "What?" And I said, "How does he know you made it in the house safe?
Right.
How does
yeah.
he know I'm home?
Good
you
one.
Could still
yep.
be standing out there. Get him on the phone right now." She's like, "Don't embarrass me." I said, "If you don't get him on the phone, I'm going to school tomorrow and I'm going to embarrass you there."
Oh, I love that.
So
you
get
did
him
that.
On the phone. She Ooh. Gets him on the phone.
I'm scared of you.
I said, I said, "Hey, you dropped my daughter off for a date. Did you have a good time? Yeah. You might want to come back and make sure that she got inside. Can you come?" "Yes, Miss Villamore." So he comes back to the house.
So good.
And I said, "Don't ever leave this house. If you don't have the common courtesy to get out and walk her to the door, at least
yeah.
make sure that she makes it in the house
yeah.
before you freaking drive away. Oh, and by the way, I noticed you didn't open the door for my daughter Oof. Either. Don't ever not open it." So now to this day, he opens her door and my door.
I know, like, this guy, right?
Thanks, Drew.
Oh, I'm
going to yeah,
be giving him
Drew.
A lot of help yeah. when I see him next time.
But it... To me, I was just
well, I'm glad
like,
you said it, though.
Yeah.
But
you
know. I but I have to. Those are my girls. And,
you have
and
to.
I have
Absolutely.
To teach them that, hey, this is how I feel like you should be treated. So, and I open the door for my man. If
yeah.
he opens the door
Agreed.
For me, I'm going to reach across and open the door for him. So I've also taught them, like, hey, if you can, reach across and open the door for him.
Always.
Like eating, I think that I'm very, like, old school, like dish him up first and make sure he's set, and then you grab your plate.
I love that.
So
There's one thing she said. Did you ever, when you were younger, I mean, you probably, since, you know, a girl used to go over there and have to unlock the door. And guys would go, oh, she really likes me. You know, it was like, it was like a thing. Seriously. It was like, I think they did a movie about this. But if the guy goes there and pull, like, unlocks, because she's sitting in the passenger after you shut her door, then she'll go, open it up. It's like, it's a sign of saying, oh, she really likes me. Like that. So, because it's consideration. You know, she likes you enough to be considerate.
Well, it's like a common courtesy.
You had a car in high school. That's good.
Oh, you were lucky. I didn't get mine until my senior year, Marcus. And I paid for my car, by the way.
Hey, stop bragging, dude.
I worked hard for it though. But
hey, thanks a lot, dude.
Marcus, like, I just have my bicycle. I just need to park back. Was she a front rider or the back rider?
No, we had, a two seater back there.
Oh my God, that's so great.
Yeah, I feel like it's just all these little things that we kind of like set the standard. So we have to like teach them, you know? Yeah.
Do you feel like those standards are dying? I mean, I know that us three, are still instilling it in our kids, but do you feel it's a dying art a little bit? I hate to say it, but
kind of yes, like, I think communicating without the phone is a dying art.
That's
very true.
You know, feminism and stuff, and you know, it's probably a sore subject, but I just think it's just divisive.
Right,
I agree.
Yeah,
I just think it's divisive. I mean, it's sort of a socialist and communistic thing, right? I mean, it's just creating division. I don't like anything that creates division between, you know, men or women or, you know, guys or, you know, groups or whatever. I mean, anything that creates division, and this is what our world is all about right now, is just things that create division.
Yeah.
You know,
it's so easy.
That government only has an answer for.
But it's so easy if we just, like you said, I feel like lines get skewed when people don't communicate correctly. It's like as simple as, like you just said, the feminists, whatever. It's like, if I'm with a girl or a woman who says, and I open the door for her and she scoffs at me, I'm like, hey, that's what I'm still going to do. I'm going to do it again for you.
Right.
You know, but just voice me, hey, thank you, but I don't need that. I'll take that as a, okay. You know, that's fine. I get that.
Well, I'm saying I'm doing it for me.
Well, I'm just waiting for my mom. She's probably standing behind somewhere.
I'm doing it for me. You don't like? I mean, this is how I was raised. Agreed. So I'm just doing it for me. Yeah. I mean, so if you don't want to appreciate it, that's all right.
Get your stung.
I'm gonna still do it. I'm not gonna stop doing it.
Get your stung started young. That's what I say all the time. So.
Oh yeah, let me tell you what. That's one of the things he does. He'll open a door and let people in. He'll hold the door and stuff. And
I always felt so good doing that.
I feel like those little things go a long way. Mm-hmm.
Always tell them about being a gentleman. Yeah, all those things.
You know, look eye contact. In the eye.
Yeah, that's, yep, for
yep.
sure.
Yep. My girls, I don't want them to have like a limp handshake. I'm like, shake their hand. You know, look them in their eye.
Right.
Like it means something.
Right. It's surprising when you get that from a woman too, because I feel like, you know, as a guy, you want to go in, and when they squeeze hard, I'm excited because I go, wow, they know it. They got this down. This is a strong woman.
Jamie's a protector.
She's this one.
Ooh, I'm scared of you.
Marcus, I stay at her house when I come to town. I lock myself in my room.
Do you
go,
really?
Please don't bother me.
You know there's a pistol in that top drawer.
She comes up the other day and there was this fire going. All of a sudden I hear, McKenna, blah, blah, blah. And I go, lock. I don't care if there's a fire brewing down. I ain't going out there with Harvey Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Right, what else do you want to ask this amazing man?
I just want you to know that we're so grateful for your time. Really? I know that you're busy you're in town, so I want to be mindful of that. And
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're super
really
patient.
I've enjoyed it. You know, it was earlier with John, and we had a great time on there, and now with you and stuff. And as I said before, I couldn't say no to her, you know.
Right,
now
right.
It's nice meeting you as well.
Well,
and
thank
stuff
you, Marcus.
Like that,
so, I mean, next time I get a photo with someone who's in, I'm Marcus Allen. I'm Marcus Allen, man.
No,
I'm going to own it.
No, so. You're a Franco guy.
I have my fairness. Yeah, I don't want to go back, but I have my
32 is good, though. That's
thank you very much. I was about to say that. I was a big USC fan, though, man. Big USC fan.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We are so appreciative, Marcus. Thank you. You're an amazing man and gentleman. And I mean, just if you want to plug anything right now. By the way, I know you said golf event. What is your next big charity thing coming up at the moment?
The Tim Tebow Foundation, which is an amazing event that he gives. What is it? TPC Sawgrass and Ponte Vedra.
Are we talking March, April? When is this
March.
Happening? March. Okay.
Yeah. He has a wonderful event. He's tackled human trafficking.
I love that.
Yeah, so many subjects. Also, I think A Night to Shine, which is for kids that Down syndrome and stuff like that don't experience those kind of events and stuff. He gives them this incredible night where they really enjoy themselves stuff like that. He's a great guy and stuff. And I know people are critical and they say, guy can't be that good, but he is that good.
Right.
And I love him. He's such a great person and stuff. So that's my next event I'm going to.
Love that.
And then where can we find you? Are you on social media, Instagram or...
The wife's on that. I don't even take care of that. No, you know, I'm too old for this.
This is a man about town. He's like, Mark's like, I'm a man about town. Yeah. I don't need social media.
All right.
So, yeah.
I respect that. I like it.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark. Jamie, anything you need to plug before we head out today?
Shout out to Howitzer for my amazing hat. They're always hooking me up with some dope gear. We'll have to send you some hats, some shirts for your son. Yeah.
No, you're going to have to take me shooting. That's
what
I will definitely do that. Yeah. I would love to.
Did you say a 50 caliber?
I was shooting a Barrett 50 cal in Texas.
I saw that.
It was pretty powerful. Yeah,
it's a big gun. It's
Your
shoulders are right?
For me. But yeah, there's one girl that she can one arm it and shoot it. I was like,
oh, that's crazy.
Not so much
one
for me.
Arm.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's a big girl. Not big.
She must have some guns. I mean, no pun intended, right?
Yeah, she's beautiful. I was like, whoa,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. All right, guys, and I'm supporting Bus Mobbers today. Found them in L.A. to support the Hispanic art culture, street art culture, so I told them I'd wear one of their hats today.
Cool.
And, you can find us anything at Dating Intelligence at social media, and I guess that is our show. We have the great Mark Sound today. This is a treat, I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys very much for having me.
Yeah, now I can kind of like go, it's Mark Sound on the show. All right.
Whatever.
Thanks, guys.
All right.